going to 40 minutes
because we run late for the morning prayer. Let's sing one hymn, 414.
The Savior,
please be seated. We're going to start, spend 40 minutes to study the topic, to teach the student to make a godly choice, a godly decision. If we want to draw a line, this is called responsibility. When a child is born, the responsibility is zero. The child only know how to cry. The child cry and the parent take care of all the responsibility to see whether he's hungry, he's cold, the diaper is wet, or longing for being loved by the parents, right? But if you raise your child until the 10 years old and only know to cry, then the parent will shed a lot of tears because your child is not growing up. But one day, when your child is going to get married in 20s, still everything has to ask the parents for decision. Then we cannot let go in a very peaceful mind. So the process, the time the children spend with us, about 20 years, if the children move out at the age of 18 for college students, it may be 18 years. And that 18 years or 20 years is for the parents to teach them how to make a good decision. So when the time the parents, the child is going to get married, the child should fully, 100%, take care of the responsibility of making decision. And the parent have to drop into 0% of the responsibility of making the decision. So this is called grow into maturity, making the right decision. So it is a process of learning. The same with the teacher. Actually, teacher are playing pretty much the role of the parents. Just like Paul said, you can find thousands of teachers, but you can only find a few of the parents. Paul was talking about in his generation, a lot of people like to teach. But out of so many people, not many people really have the heart like the parents. No. So according to biblical teaching, being a teacher, actually we play the role of being a parent. To help the children to grow. So how can we teach the student to make a godly decision? Number one, we have to know our own role of being a teacher and a parent. In order to make a help the children to make a godly choice, godly decision, the first one is the silent teaching, which means use our own role model of making godly choice to teach our children. Let's see Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 4. This is a very important and very popular passage for most of the Israelites. Most of the devout Israelites will recite this paragraph. Chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Verse 8. And this commandment that I give you today are to be upon your heart. Verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk among the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. As a teacher, we quite often we directly go into verse 7. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home or when you walk in the road. So we try to teach verbally. We try to tell them something. But God moved Moses to wrote, how can we transform the faith of our next generation? The first is silent teaching, role model. Verse 4, 5, to love your God, Lord, with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Now, so this role model will be that the children to imitate the teacher. So before we teach them how to make a godly choice, right choice, we have to set an example for them to follow. For example, if we want to teach our children to come to the church on time, we cannot tell our children, morning prayer is 10 o'clock, you have to go to attend the morning prayer. Or you have to go to the church at 10:30, and our service start at 10:30, and we always come to the church late. It's impossible. So our life pattern actually bears some important impact to our children or to our students. If we want our students make a good choice, we have to make a good choice to let them follow, to let them know making a good choice has good consequence, a good result. Also, sometimes as a teacher or as a worker of God, every decision, there is a very subtle impact to the church. We have to understand that. If we don't live a life of prayer, how can we teach our children to live a life of prayer in a very busy life? So in a very busy life, we want to teach our children to make a decision. I have to set apart a certain time to pray. Yes, we are busy too. They are busy too, right? But we have to manage your time. So every day you have 30 minutes and pray, no matter how busy you are. Just like three meals a day, no matter how busy you are. So you set aside 30 minutes, no matter how busy you are. Then your children look into the way you manage the time. And they think about it, and they start to learn from it, even before we start to teach them verbally. So today, it's very difficult to teach our next generation or the students because we fail to play the role of being a role model. It's very difficult. So if we want to our teaching to be more successful, it's important. We have to set example. In order to set example, we have to pay a price. Without paying a price, we cannot be successful to help our next generation make a godly choice. For example, if we ourselves marry a non-believer, I'm not pimping anybody, I just an example. Okay. It's very difficult for us to help our children to marry in the same faith. Why? Because we ourselves become a role model for them, become a model for them to follow. If we ourselves spend a lot of time online, how can we ask our children to make a decision? You have to have self-control. don't indulge too much in online. It's impossible. So nowadays, the challenge is not only the children. Nowadays, the challenge is in the parents. Are you willing to pay a price to set example for your children, for your student to follow? So morning prayer, just like a Saturday morning prayer, we encourage everybody to pray, come pray for the church. But in the result, you look into the situation, those who are supposed to lead cannot have a role model. So how can the people who is weaker to follow and to make this decision? We have to come to the church early and pray. So this is the first one. If we want to teach our students to make a godly choice, we ourselves have to set a role model to make a godly choice. We thank God today you can be here. I think you all can be a very good teacher. The reason are two. The first one is, if you come yesterday, that because Sabbath, naturally you will come to the church. And that naturally you will stay a little bit longer. And today, if you want to come, you have to make an extra effort to do it. The second, yesterday was the first day that physically maybe you are not so tired. But today, you want to come here. I think most of them are a little bit tired. So because of these two reasons, today you can come. I believe you can be a pretty good teacher. Without this kind of dedication, today you will not be here. You may be still sleeping on the bed or already go out to have fun. Right? So you have the potential and has been proved. You attend the second day of the workshop. The second one. Helping the student or children to make a choice instead of making a choice for them. Let me ask you a question. You just give a very simple answer. What is power? What is the power? If you don't understand what is power, you just look in your company. Who makes the decision? That person is the one who has power. So what is power? Power means making decision. Very simple. Making decision is power. So some of the parents, they feel they are the parents. So they have this kind of authority. So they make a lot of decision for the children. Of course, making the decision for the children, sometimes because the children is not mature enough to make a decision. But when the children are already like a teenager, already grown up, but the parents still want to make a decision and enforce the children to do it, that means the parent is obsessed with power. So we have to transform this kind of power to make a decision to our next generation. Let them make a decision by themselves. But we help them to make a decision. So decision is a privilege, but decision is a responsibility. And this privilege cannot be separated from the responsibility. And how can we help the student or children to make a choice? First one. Making a choice for them instead or let them making the decision by themselves, it will produce a lot of difference later day. You know, a lot of parents micromanage the activity of the children. Tell them what to do, what not to do, right? When the children grow up, move out of the house, a lot of times the children don't know how to cope with the temptation outside, don't know how to survive spiritually. Because the parents make a lot of decisions, they did not have that kind of opportunity to go through the process and learning from the process of making the decision. And all of a sudden, he moved out of the house and facing a lot of difficult decision the person has to make, and they feel it's very difficult. So we have to help them instead of making decision for them. A, provide the information, the nature of the decision you are going to make.
You have to let them know, do you know what you are doing? Now, this is very important. Let them know what they are doing. A lot of times, they don't know what they are doing. They don't have the whole picture of the whole event. For example, dating. Do you know what you are doing? Dating. What is the nature of the dating? What is the reason you need to have dating? And what is the consequences of dating? And when you date different people, what is the outcome? So you need to have that kind of information, or provide the information. Also proms. The last year before the graduation in high school is a proms. So we see a lot of parents immigrate to the United States in the middle age. They have difficult time to teach their children. Why? Because they don't have the experience living in America. So I know some of the parents, instead of teaching the children, their children are teaching them. Instead of helping the children to make decisions, actually, they have been manipulated by their children. And some of the parents really happen in this way because they don't have experience here. But even we don't have the experience here, we can learn from it. Not necessarily everything you should have experience. So some people say, being a preacher, the best way you work in a society to know the world and you come back to become a preacher. Then the question is, if you work in a company, right, for 5 years, all 5 years you just stay in one company. You only experience one corner of the society, one spot. If you want to experience everything in the society, it takes you 40 years. Then the time you are mature enough to become a preacher is the time for you to retire. So what can you do? I think the very, very good way is, for me, when I talk with every individual, I learn a lot. You talk to a doctor, you talk to the one who work in the market, you talk to different people, you can learn a lot. And through this kind of learning, even though you personally, you did not experience a lot in the world, but you know a lot. And that will help you to make a decision. That will help you to help others. So A, provide information. If we don't have that kind of information, you can ask. You can ask help. A lot of people can help you to provide the information. And sometimes you invite a friend in the same age or through the group activity, we can get a lot of information about the decision we are going to make. Point B, analyze the consequence. Sometimes the children want to make a decision, the student want to make a decision. They are not mature enough. They are not experienced enough to know the consequence. And without knowing the consequence, making a decision is a gamble, especially the dating, prom, or school and dance. Let us see one of the examples. The book of Genesis. Can you find out why Isaac make that decision? Esau, not Isaac, Esau. Okay. Genesis chapter 25, verse 32. Genesis 25, verse 32. Look, I am about to die, Esau said. What good is the birthright to me? Verse 12 is 50% right and 50% wrong. The first part is right. I am about to die. Yes, it's right. The second part is wrong. What good is the birthright to me? So because I'm going to die, he thought it's the finish of everything. So he thought birthday right is nothing. So when Esau want to trade for the birthday right for a bowl of soup, he failed to understand the consequence. But after Esau grown older, he know more, and he knew more, and he knew the consequence of giving up the birthday right. Then he started to regret. So this is one example. So a lot of times we suffer today is because we make bad decisions. A lot of times we are enjoy a lot of good time today, good family, good marriage, because we make a right decision. So every decision you are going to see the consequence later or sooner. There is no decision, no consequence. Every decision has a consequence. Some is minor consequence, some is a major consequence. So we have to analyze the consequence. One day, one of the sisters called me. He said, "Don't ask me my name." I said, "I will never ask your name." What happened? She was crying. She said, there was a brother. Actually, they have dating when they were in college. And that brother went to see her quite often. But later on, they have a physical relationship, and the brother abandoned her. They asked her a question, why these kind of things happen? And he said the brother visit her and they themselves spend in a room, dormitory, a room alone. And that brother provide her a lot of pornography, Playboy, some kind of magazine. I'm very sympathetic to this sister. But the sister make a bad choice without analyzing what is the consequence. Well, when you have dating with even a brother, when you spend the room together, when you read that kind of magazine, what will happen? She failed to understand. But when everything happened, and then she realized she made a bad choice, bad decision, but that's too late. This is a true story. We have to analyze the consequence. If you make this decision, what kind of consequence will be? If you make that decision, what kind of consequence will be? So let them know it. But sometimes the young students, they know everything. They know if I do this, it is going to happen that way. If I do that, it's going to happen that way. But they still cannot make a right decision. Why? Because of the faith. Because faith is something believe, something invisible. Faith believe there is God. Faith believe God is watching and God will reward those who try to keep his commandment. But in reality, we are living in the world. You can feel, you can touch. So some of the youth, they know ever since they grown up from the church, they know a lot theoretically. Make this, will come that, make this, will come that. But because they lack of faith, they still been driven away by the world. So they make a decision, you can see that decision been influenced a lot by the world. So that is the reason if we want to help the next generation make a right choice, we have to build up their faith. Once they build up their faith, their value will based on the teaching of the Bible. And it's easier for them to make a right choice. If we can give an example, the example of Daniel, when he was in palace, right? The king was providing him very delicious food. Daniel received the education in Babylon. He was speaking the Babylon language, and he lived in a Babylon the culture. But
when Daniel facing this situation, he has to eat the food worshipping the idol, been offered to idol. He stick on his principle. That is because of his faith. So today, a lot of decisions we have to make because of faith, not because we don't know whether it's right or it's wrong, but because whether you really believe is valuable or not. For example, we see some of the youth did not come to church on Saturday. Instead, they go to study so-called Chinese, learning the Chinese, in the expense of coming in the Saturday. Some of the student, RE student. And this has something to do with the faith. Yes, it's important for the Chinese to learn the Chinese. But is that so important to sacrifice your worshiping God, keeping the Sabbath? So this is something to do with the faith. I know there's a sister who had two sons. At that time, I was in Taiwan. The mother always bring the second one to the church to attend the RE class, because RE class was held in Sunday. And he asked the first son to go study more for college examination test. But it turned out, after two sons grown up, the one who caused him most trouble, most headache, is the first one. The one who come to the church to attend the RE, it turned out during the college study, God bless him, he studied better. And after he get married, he has a more blessing than the first one. So the parents don't have to worry about the second one. So make a decision to do with the faith. Do you believe if you please God, God will bless you? Do you believe? Number four, D. And sometimes we know I want to please God. I know the consequences, but I still cannot stick on my decision. That means I lack power. So we have to advise the student, you need to pray, ask God to guide you and strengthen you, give you power. For example, Paul say, I know what is right, but I cannot do what is right. I know what is wrong, but I keep on doing what is wrong. Because at that time, Paul has no power. He has conscience, so he knows what is right. He has determination, he wants to do what is right. But he failed to follow his own decision because he lacked power. But after convert to Christ, Paul said, thank God, in Christ, I can live a victorious life. That's because God empowered him by the Holy Spirit. So quite often we have to intercede for students. Being a parent, sometimes it's a wonderful experience because you can have interact relationship with the children. And one of the very important ways to express our love in secret is to pray for the children. And I believe if every teacher have this kind of parental love, you may never tell your students, I love you, but you will pray a lot for your student because you love them just like a parent loves the children. And through a lot of prayer, God empowers the students, then they were able to stick on the decision of what is right. Otherwise, even they make the right decision, they still cannot carry it out. And sometimes, pray for Lord's guidance, point number D, because a lot of decisions, you really don't know what will be the consequence. Right? You want to study this school, you want to study that school, okay? You can analyze the consequence to a certain degree, but after that, you cannot know what is going to happen. For example, if a student study in a school very far away from the church, sometimes the youth become even more spiritual because they feel lonely, they pray a lot.
But most often, when the students study in a school very far away from the school, when they graduate from the school, their faith almost finished. So we try to make a decision whether the student had to study in a school very far away from the church. I think we need God's guidance. Academic achievement is not the only consideration. Consideration in terms of the faith is equally important or more important. But we need God's guidance. Let's see Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 5 to verse 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Verse 6. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. This verse 5 to verse 6 actually related to making a choice. When you don't know what is the outcome of your choice, the only way is pray hard and trust everything to God and ask God to guide you. And so this is a learning process. After we have been gone through a lot, you know how to trust God, then you can make a right decision. Maybe when you make a right decision, you don't know the reason behind. But after a period of time, you can see the good result because God has been guiding us. 3. Strive into maturity through making choice. Yes, we did make a lot of bad decisions. But if we can learn a lesson from the bad decisions we made, we will become more mature. So in the process of growing up from the 0 to 20s, we help them to make a decision. When the decision comes up with bad, we help them to analyze why. So they can gradually learning to become more mature, to become a person who learns how to trust God more. So making decision itself can help us to become mature. So teach a student make a godly choice. Point B, the meaning of being a Christian. The foundation of making a good godly choice is to understand the meaning of being a Christian. Without understanding the meaning of being a Christian, quite often our decision will drip away into the watery way. The meaning of being a Christian, first one, is to deny oneself and bear the cross and follow Jesus Christ. So what do you mean deny yourself? Give up your own power. When you deny yourself, then you will honor God as your Lord, your God. So nowadays, the generation is, I live for myself. If I feel like it, nobody can say, you should not do that. If you're like, I like it, nobody cannot say, you should not do that. So I am the master of myself. I live for myself. This is the common concept among the young people in growing up in this generation, But once we become a Christian, which means I'm no longer emphasize myself, I'm emphasizing God is my law. What the law means, he is my master. He is in control of me. So being a Christian means I give up the authority to control myself to God himself. So that is the meaning of being a Christian. So when we try to teach the student to make a right decision, the fundamental way is to teach them the meaning of being a Christian. You know that Muslims have a lot of extremists. They can carry the bomb, right? Suicide bomber. Sacrifice his life and explode himself and kill a lot of people. How come they can make up that kind of decision? Because their religious belief, their thinking, make them think in that way. But I think that was the work of Satan. We have the help of the Holy Spirit. We have the words of God. If we can make our next generation understand the true meaning of being a Christian, I believe a lot of people are willing to sacrifice themselves to serve God, even to die for God. Oh. So making a decision itself is not only talking about your personal benefit, what kind of school, what kind of job, that kind of personal benefit. Making the decision involved with the direction of your life. Are you willing to serve God? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself to achieve something for the church, for God himself? It's not only talk about something for your personal benefit. Second, live in the world, not belong to the world, and transcend the world. We should not depart from the world, but we should live in the world, but we should transcend the world. That is the most difficult part. So making a decision, sometimes we go against the tide of the world. That is the most difficult part. Just like Daniel, most difficult part. But this is the price we have to pay. No matter what kind of price we pay, the price will never be heavier than the price Jesus paid to save us. No matter what. Three, understand the trick of Satan. A lot of times, Satan uses a lot of trick to let the next generation to make a wrong decision. Live for a moment. This is the trick of Satan. The culture in this generation has very, very important characteristic. Emphasize on feeling. Don't emphasize too much on thinking. Live for a moment. As long as you feel good, do it. This is the trick of Satan. See, the country are making a choice. In the Bible, you can see a lot of examples. Just Adam and Eve. God already told them, you eat, you shall die. This is the consequence. You eat, you shall die. Right? But if you don't eat, you can live in the Garden of Eden. But Eve still make a decision to eat the fruit. And she suffered. And Adam suffered from the consequence. Esau and Jacob, we already mentioned that. Point D. The condition of making a godly choice. First, we need to have faith. Faith to God. God will provide. If you please God, the grace of God will be abundant. The second, love. I really love God. If you really love God, you have to please God. If you please God, God will never disappoint you. Love, out of love, you make the decision. Not only to please the parents. The hope. Not only the hope in the future in heaven. If you make a right decision, you are going to have a very good hope. A hope of peace and joy. If you make a bad decision, then in front of you, you have to prepare to suffer. Even momentary, you feel good. Momentary, you like it. But eventually, you have to suffer. So making a godly choice has something related to faith, love, and hope. So sometimes making a decision needs have a companion to help. You look into the story of Naomi moved to Moab. That was a wrong decision. So some people say, Naomi, 她是一个... 娇妻不是贤妻, I don't know how to say English. 娇妻, she was a wife, tried to please the husband, but not a very wise wife. Because when the husband wanted to move to Moab, she just followed without giving any advice. And Naomi was a what? 慈母不是良母. It's a kind mother, but it's not a good mother. Kai means, suffer. Let's move to Moab. So you can have food to eat. But it's not a good mother. Because moving to Moab, eventually three sons all die. The whole house has three widows.
Oh, so let us learn a lesson. Now, let's pray in silence. Amen. We rest 10 minutes.